Hello. I am Ivan Decker.
And my name is Peter Carlone.
And we are not scientists.
I think the only reason we're qualified to speak is because I, and I assume you, do not care who tells us that we shouldn't be talking about it.
We're going to try to sum it up in ways that you stupid idiots that are listening to this can understand.
If I was a scientist, I would hate it.
Yeah.
Which one's yes?
Whichever one makes me seem smarter.
Hey, everybody. It's Peter here with Science Us.
This week, Peter is going to Science Us.
I've prepared a thing.
Yes. So why don't you let us know a little bit what we're going to be talking about
today. Okay. Well, I'm going to science you today with... I'm going to start it out a little bit like a mystery, okay? What if there was something that kills tons of people every year? And in the U.S. alone, it kills 40,000 people a year. Mm-hmm. You know, would you want to not have that?
Absolutely.
Well, guess what it is, Ivan?
What is it?
Motor vehicles.
Oh, it was one of those, like, after school special type mysteries.
Soggy, meat-filled bags called humans drive around these physics machines, and we're very, very dumb, and we drive them right into other people's physics machines, and we drive into pedestrians all the time.
Yep.
All year round. So what if...
Even in February?
Especially in February.
Okay.
February. Okay, let's not get sidetracked here with how to say that.
Okay. It's February,
so
though.
So to solve this problem, companies like Google and other companies from even a long time, like Volkswagen was working on it at Stanford University in 2009, even as far back as that, have been working on the idea of, can we make a car that drives itself? Ladies and gentlemen, today's episode is about driverless cars.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I think it's the future.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, although I enjoy driving. I'm also really good at it.
You drove me around today. We got lunch today. Actually, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
You have sort of like a retired rally car driver sensibility about you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very responsive.
Yeah.
You probably won't get hit by stuff.
I try to avoid that at all costs. But I get really mad at the people in front of me. And I feel like even though I'm great at it, everybody else isn't as good as me. So it just makes me angry. I get stressed out.
Yeah.
So I think people need to learn that green means go, not hey, this might not mean go soon, so go really slow. You know, things like that. But I think driverless cars would definitely be something. I mean, we could just be drunk all the time. That would be a great.
Well, that's the thing, is like you can be drunk, you can be underage, you can be working on some emails, getting something wrapped up, and you got a big commute ahead of you.
Well, not me,
no
I
problem.
Get car sick. There's the problem for me.
Car sickness.
We'll talk about car sickness. That's kind of the big bomb. I just dropped it at the beginning. But I think that's one of the issues I would have. We'll get back to that a little later.
I think the major issue would be what you touched on earlier, which is freedom, especially in the America. People aren't going to want to not drive their cars. They're not going to want to give up control of their cars, even if they're told it will save thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of lives.
I think in the city, it should be one of those things where it's like, in the city.
Yep.
It is mandatory.
Yep.
You just have to do it because there's just... I imagine like not having to find parking, like all that stuff. Because also, like, would it be just your car or would there be other people taking these driverless cars?
The idea, the idea is twofold. I think you could have your own car, which would eliminate parking problems because you just get out and tell your car to go sort itself out.
Just go somewhere.
And come back when I'm ready
for it. Go hang out with all the other cars. Get loose.
And so there's probably going to be all these little bowling alleys for cars to hang out in.
Little car bars where they...
As soon as cars get sentience, they're going to be late. They're not going to want to pick us up.
Yeah.
They're going to be late.
Man, I was really working up some broad car.
I was hanging out down at the tracks.
Well, by the way, I lost all our money.
I need to get to work, Google car.
But I mean, Google, the funny thing is that Google kind of already has the technology, because if you look at Google Maps, like, they already know where everybody is.
Yeah.
And they do traffic.
Yeah.
I think that's based, I don't know much about the Google
traffic. Okay, so the Google car, good thing to bring up. The Google car, first of all, the Google car has done, apparently on their test track and in somewhere in California, I can't remember, has done already about 100,000 hours of driving by itself.
And is it
zipping
good?
Around. Not a single accident. The two times it got into a mild collision.
Mild collision?
Were like bumping something or whatever, was when it was under manual control by a human who was taking it back to the test lot.
Nice.
He was like driving it home to plug it back in or something, and he had a car accident.
Oh, that must have been the best, to the human error, and then the car just gets mad at him. Like, what are you doing, you idiot?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you're so bad at this. Let me drive.
What's your reaction time? 2 milliseconds? Ugh, disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's a great idea.
So, basically what it is there's the top of the Google car and a lot of the driverless ones right now, instead of having the roads be smart roads, which would be insane to maintain.
Yeah.
Which rhymes, so it's true.
Insane to maintain.
Is that there's a radar on top of the car. So the car is responsible for taking care of itself, basically. And it has a 360-degree, no blind spot view of everything around it.
Yeah.
And its reaction time is a computer's reaction time, not a human's. So it's like hundreds of times faster.
So it's like a missile. Basically, it's the technology that we use to fire missiles around corners and stuff.
Yeah.
Now it's doing good, finally. First, we used it to kill a bunch of people. Once they all died, and we were like, oh, man, could we use this to save lives? I don't know. That sounds crazy.
That sounds insane. That's with every new technology, though. The first thing we do with it is make weapons out of it, and I'm like, hey, I wonder if we could use this.
Yeah.
For good things. Probably not. I wonder if, maybe this is a bit dark, but do you think terrorists would love driverless cars?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, that's going to be a big issue. That was like one of the reasons, I remember the PlayStation 3, I think?
Yeah, terrorists love that.
When it came out, it had to be recalled because apparently some of the chips in it, you could modify to make guided missiles.
What?
Yeah. So
how? The PS3 just like has a program. You can like put a program on it. It's like
it was just whatever
stuff.
Its processing speed was fast enough that you could get like a pirate program to use it to make missiles. So it was like this big thing because they were like, well, we can't just have that out there because those are basically we're just mass producing these chips that could be used for this. And they're a lot cheaper than the actual chips that you need for a guided missile.
Like a true scientist, I forget where I saw or heard this, but is it true that GPSs will shut down if you're going a certain speed because it assumes that it's been strapped onto a missile?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. Like your iPhone?
Well, no, it's like a GPS from a car. And I heard that you could do the same thing what you were saying with the PS3. It's like strap it into a cruise missile and be like, go to Jared's house, and then it'll guide the missile through the air.
Turn left.
It doesn't say. It sounds less and less true the more I keep talking.
The missile like has to hear that voice.
The missile's like freaking out.
But also, how are you getting a hold of a missile without a guidance system?
There's a cloud here. Right. That's a good point. Why do you need a GPS from Future Shop?
Yeah.
You have a missile.
You're
surely
like,
the guidance system would be the easy part.
This missile only cost $1 million.
We busted the budget.
We better cut down on our spending for the way for it to kill who we want it to kill.
But that's the same. So back to driverless cars, like if a terrorist was like, put a bunch of crap in the car.
Yeah.
And then was like, okay, drive this to a crowded marketplace. Would the Google car be like, are you not coming with?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in me. I feel pretty heavy.
Yeah.
You want me to just stop there?
I think
Are
it
you
would
gonna
have
bomb.
Like, yeah, it should have like an explosive detecting software.
I imagine it would have to.
And the other thing with once we get to the point where it's all driverless cars, it would be really good because merging would be amazing. Like it would be like a split second thing because all cars approaching a section where they would need to merge would just communicate with each other and agree. Because like the thing is like we can't communicate with the drivers in other cars except honking, which, you know.
Especially those ones that don't speak no English.
Well, honking is in zero languages, and it's like I can't believe that we have not advanced past honking.
No, and because honking is basically like the only word cars know right now is hey.
Yeah,
like that's what honking is.
That's pretty much it. So
you can't communicate anything complex.
We don't know what. Yeah, it's hard to make a plan with people. Like if you're in a line, if you're like walking with a bunch of people that you can talk to, you can be like, oh, I'm gonna go here, and then they're like, okay, yeah, I'll just
yeah, but exactly, but that's humans doing it. So now I can imagine a couple of computers instantly deciding they don't have any shame, they don't have any pride. It's just like, yep, you were a split second closer to the intersection, so you go first, then me right behind you.
It'll be like a zipper, and we'll be able to get places way
faster.
That's
one of the things this fact sheet is talking about, is that it would be slower moving traffic potentially, but it would never stop.
Yeah.
So it's just like zippers everywhere. Intersections wouldn't be controlled anymore because it would just be, you would just talk to all the cars around you and do all the math right away in a split second and figure out exactly how to weave between
until
all these cars.
Until hackers get at it.
Well, that's my fear, is like Hindenburg style. All this has to do is screw up once and then we'll never do it again.
Yeah. I know. That's the problem with anything, is as soon as like anything doesn't work once, people are like, nope.
Never.
We don't like it. It's obviously doesn't work. It's like, no, it just needs to be fixed.
Well, because one of the things they were saying is like driverless cars don't need to be perfect. They just need to be better than humans.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get that. That's true. Driverless cars will definitely not kill 40,000 people a year. But if they kill one, then we're going to be scared of robots.
I know, which is so dumb because people
especially
kill
if they do
people
it on
all
purpose,
the time.
Like if a road rage, robot road rage.
Robot road rage? That's
Roid Rage?
Robot Road Rage is a movie Peter and I are writing.
Oh, yeah. Basically, it stars a pretty upset car and lots of victims.
Pretty upset car who is...
What's that Michael Douglas movie where he's like stuck in traffic and he goes on a rampage?
Falling Down. I have a copy of it right here.
Oh, no way. It's right there.
Yeah.
Falling Down. So it's that, but the car.
Yeah, the
car is stuck in himself, in his own traffic.
There's construction in the city, didn't upload it to the mainframes. The car didn't know that the construction was there.
Kills all the construction workers.
And then it's like, what is this?
Goes to a convenience store.
Yeah. Attaches a bunch of saw blades to its tires.
Basically what it is, it's a mix of Falling Down and BattleBots.
Yeah. And it also recruits a bunch of blenders and toasters, and they come to life and start killing everybody.
Imagine...
It's like Maximum Overdrive as well.
Imagine Maximum Overdrive mixed with Falling Down and a TV show about robots.
Robot Road Rage, coming soon.
What do you think of Roid Rage?
Roid Rage? Wow.
Like Droid Rage, you know what I mean?
Droid Rage?
Like Roid Rage.
Roid Rage just means steroids.
I know, but I'm changing it.
You're changing it to Droid Rage?
Yeah, to Roid Rage, but for androids, for computers.
But it would need to be Droid Rage. You can't just take a thing that already means something.
That's their word.
Yeah, that's steroid users' word.
And they love it.
Can't take it. So the traffic would be a big thing.
Yeah.
I think that people will be resistant to it. Number one, because they want the freedom.
Yeah,
they want to be like, well, I want to. But also, the other thing about driverless cars is that we all speed. Like, we all want to speed. Also, and that's a big one from both sides of it. We all want to speed because we all want to feel like we're getting to where we're going as fast as possible.
Or in control.
But also, taking away speeding tickets, it would be an enormous chunk of revenue gone from the police. Like, municipalities thrive off of speeding, parking tickets. Like, that's why they're always so unreasonable, and they're just like...
You have to pay it.
It's just like a quick little
thing. This is my salary.
Yeah, like, here you go.
But I mean, that's something that robots are increasingly going to challenge us in the future on anyway. Not even just driverless cars, but people are turning to robots all the time. The other thing would destroy...
People are turning into robots?
Turning to robots all the time.
Okay.
For, like, fast food or for manufacturing stuff. Right now, we have dumb robots on assembly lines.
Yeah.
That's basically the
that are constantly
revolution.
Just like, what should I do next?
Yeah.
Do this.
The exact same
Thank
thing.
Thank you.
Over.
What should I do now? Do another thing. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's just how they work.
So now the next stage of the industrial, if you will, revolution or the robotic revolution is going to be robots that are smart, that can do work for us. Like lawyers, like legal firms already have automated computers doing a lot of the research now.
Yeah. Well, it's also crazy to me that a lot of law, like I have a couple friends in law school, A lot of it is still in print. Like, they have to manually go look stuff up that's been printed out and put in a box because storing it electronically isn't secure enough.
Right.
So it's just like they still have to go and... Which is insane.
Well,
who
I wonder...
cares how secure it is? You're wasting so much time.
And
but I
paper.
Guess it's, I mean, you get money. That's how lawyers get money.
So right.
Like, oh, billable hours. I got to go walk to the library and open
and
a
that's
drawer.
The problem is, like, if you can automate that, your law firm will be making more money because it can do billable hours, a 40-hour work week for one person doing discovery is now half an hour for a computer server.
As soon as the wages of somebody, like working minimum wage, becomes more expensive than what it costs to maintain a robot, those jobs will all be gone.
Well, and that's one of the big things with automated cars inside of cities. If they become popular, the taxi industry is basically gone. Because you go to Uber, you click on an app, and then an empty car pulls up and takes you where you want to go.
Yeah, good.
You know what?
I
agree.
Hate
good.
Cabs. I will say it. If anybody listening is a cab driver.
Ivan, like 60% of our listener base is
L2 Drive. Most cab drivers. I take a lot of cabs, as you know. I travel a lot. I take a lot of cabs. Number one, they're way too expensive. They're so expensive. It's insane.
Right.
Number two, they're always dicks. Like, they're just not, especially when you're outside of the cab. Like, if you're driving behind them or near them, and there's, like, when a cab has somebody in it, they drive like a maniac because they just want to get to where they're going.
Right.
And drop that person off so they can get another fare.
Get a big
but then when they're empty...
Fast.
They're the worst also because they're going so slow in the hopes that someone's going to flag them down. So it's like you have two different types of cabs on the road. Half of them are empty and going super slow. Half of them are full and just being ridiculous, like
and
cutting
either,
people off.
Either way, they're unpredictable.
Yeah.
Like, the empty one has a cab driver who's not looking where he's going. He's looking for people flagging him down for money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, or she. There's female cab drivers. But yeah, it's they probably hate it. Maybe. I don't know.
This podcast?
Yeah.
or robot cars.
Being a cab driver.
Well, I already know they hate the app Uber, which is
what is that?
Oh, you haven't heard of Uber? Uber's fantastic.
So is a plug from Uber?
We're sponsored by Uber,
and
hopefully
Google,
by this
apparently.
Point. Yeah. And Google, oh no, what have we done? Are we allowed to mention companies? Yeah. Freedom of speech or something. Right?
I don't know. People say iTunes all the time in their podcasts.
Yeah. Hoping to get good sponsorship dollars from iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes will sponsor us.
Hoping that iTunes is going to listen and be like, hey, these guys keep mentioning
us. I'm sure iTunes is a really big fan of incorrect science.
Yeah, they're going to love this. So Uber is an app. Basically, you sign up. If you want to be a driver, you sign up for it, and you can drive people around. But what you do is, if let's say you're on your way home from work, you slap your phone into a little holder, turn on the Uber app, and it says, like, I'm an active driver, so you pop up in the system. And if you're a person wanting to get home or get to a party or whatever, you load the app as well and say, I need a ride. And then the app connects people. You drive there. You don't pay. Your app does. As soon as you both sign into the ride. So
yeah.
The Uber driver is like, I've picked a person up. And the person's like, I've been picked up. And they drive, and you, like, click, like, thanks at the end, and it charges your iTunes account.
And does the money go to the driver?
Yeah, the money goes to the driver. I don't know if it all goes to the driver. I don't know how the business model works. But
that seems weird. Like, I feel like there's a lot of legal loopholes in there with, like, cab driver.
There's no precedent. That's why it's happened and blown up so big.
Yeah.
So now cab drivers are trying to shut it all down.
Of course.
There's all this regulation.
Well, they also tried to shut down the train to the airport in Vancouver.
Yes,
like,
that's
that
right.
That was the dumbest. They're like, well, it's really unfair that people can get a ride downtown from the airport for $2.50. Instead of $50.
Instead of the $60 we were planning on charging
it's
them.
It's like, well, yeah, that's just how it works now.
I think that was a collective, like, welcome to the future, bitches, and then they just built it.
But then they also kind of bent to their will and made it cost $9.
Oh, yeah.
To get on at the airport.
Is that subsidizing the construction, or does that go to cab drivers?
I don't know, but it's dumb. It doesn't make any sense. Because you go one more station, it's $2.50. Just don't pay at the airport. Get on the train. No cops check between the airport and whatever the next one is. And then just get
That's
off
true.
At the next station, buy a ticket, get on the next train. There you go, $2.50. Or you're already on, just don't pay ever.
So this podcast is the science of
How to steal transit. No, obviously don't steal. It's bad. It's bad to steal.
As long as there's a disclaimer afterwards.
Yeah. I'm going to edit it out, though. I'm going to edit yours out. So you get in trouble. So the other problem, I think, would be apart from...
We're talking about driverless cars.
Yeah.
Okay.
For me, it's car sickness. I get really car sick.
Right.
Now, when I go on planes and stuff, I just take Gravol. But I wouldn't want to just take Gravol all the time. Like, I enjoy driving, especially I ride a scooter. I ride a Vespa. And that...
Those will not be automatic.
Yeah. That would be... Like, I enjoy that because I'm out in the air and I don't feel sick.
Right.
Like, motorcycles, Vespas are the only things that I can drive that I feel great. I feel normal when I'm driving it. Most cars, even when I'm driving, I feel kind of sick, but passenger, it's the worst. Anytime, I'm like the worst person to be in a car with, because if I'm sitting in the passenger seat and someone goes like, hey, can you look up on your phone where this is? I'm like, nope, I cannot.
I can immediately throw up on your lap if you want.
Yeah. The second I am not looking out the window feels like it's like an instant. The best I can describe for people who don't get car sick. And I know there's some people out there that are like, I get car sick kind of sometimes. You're a pussy.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. Well, this is the best I can describe it is imagine the worst hangover you've ever had in your life.
Oh, boy.
That just happens instantly. Like, the second you're not looking out the window, it's just like you have jumped to horrible hangover. Like, you have a headache, and you're just nauseous, you're just sick.
This only happens if you're the passenger. But if you're in control?
If I'm in control, it's fine. And I think it has something to do with inner ear, like, feeling the, anticipating the braking and the acceleration. Like, I know when the car's going to move.
You just got a big old slosh fest around up in your inner ear.
Yeah.
Just that, like, fluid is just moving all over the place.
Yeah, my inner ears are the worst. Pretty mad. Because it was also one of those things where, like, I was car sick as a kid, and my mom was like, I used to get car sick as a kid. Don't worry, you'll grow out of it. Now I'm 30, almost, and it's still...
Have you asked her when she grew out of it?
Terrible.
Mid-50s.
Yeah.
That doesn't count as growing out of something.
No.
If it stops when you're 50...
Yeah.
You haven't grown out of it. You've just...
You'll grow out of it when you die.
Yeah.
When you're dead, it won't happen
anymore.
You're
just pretty close to dying.
I actually sat for the first time in a very long time in the back seat middle of a car, as I almost never do. And I was so sick in like driving a block. And I was looking out the window, too. I was like staring
Weird.
Right out the front windshield. But it was just like, I just felt so constricted. It was crazy. Like, I couldn't breathe. It was very strange.
Oh, my God. So, like, what about trains? The SkyTrain or buses.
SkyTrain, again, as long as I look out the window, it's okay. And it's actually it's funny because the more like rickety a train is, the more non-sick I feel. So the less sick I'll get.
Oh, so the smoothness of a driverless car will just be the worst.
Yeah, if it's really, and that's the other thing that's weird. Some people say like, oh, if it's really smooth, I don't get sick. And I'm like, oh, the smoothness, like the Canada Line, where I can't feel the train moving at all. It's just like.
Oh, yeah, so I think when the future comes and the robots take over our jobs and our cars, you'll just have to kill yourself. That's it for you.
No, I'll just be like one of those robot-killing guys. I'll have a headband.
A Luddite or whatever, one of those futuristic tech-hating people.
Yeah. What kind of guns would you use to kill a robot? Would you use, like, regular guns, or would you...
I mean, they're mechanical. There's no apps. There's like, one-click interface.
Yeah, so, like, how would you...
Arrows?
Yeah, I don't think a bow and arrow would be good. Like, what would be the best weapon? Like, just, like, water? Like, a water gun? I'm sure they'd be waterproof.
Just really, really salty water.
Yeah.
Just short-circuit it.
Some kind of, like, saline solution to just get on it and mess with its systems.
Wow. Interesting. So, like, the ocean.
Yeah.
Right? Ocean water would become our ammunition in the robot wars.
Oh, man. We got so much of it. And we've also filled it with, like, weird garbage, so that would just help us. We just need to find a way to flood cities to destroy all the robots. Or even just like
if
electronic.
Robots ever take...
What about like EMPs? Like that was like a big thing in the.
I've always wondered about how those work in the movies. It's just like this like it's like a Deus Ex Machina. It's like you turn it on and everything's
shut
down.
Everything's
gone.
We'll do another episode about EMPs.
What if it didn't quite work that way? Like what if
research.
Some things like didn't quite get their circuits overridden and it was just like, yeah, some of these robots are fine, so they're going to keep killing us, I guess.
Yeah, they're actually stronger and they're immune to it now.
Well, because it's just such a magic bullet in movies. Yeah. Like, turn on the EMP, nothing works.
Like in The Matrix when like those squids were like coming to kill them, and then they're like right over top of him, and he turns the thing.
Turns it on and they're saved.
And they're just instantly dead.
Yeah.
Like they could
You'd think they would come up with some kind of like guard against that. Because that's like the easiest thing.
Electromagnetic shielding. I'm pretty sure like phones have that. Microwaves have it.
Well, yeah, so that you don't bake yourself while you are baking your Pop-Tart.
Yeah. I don't know if baking is the correct word. But...
Do you microwave Pop-Tarts?
Yeah, I don't. For 1 second.
I think that was the least correct sentence I've ever said.
Baking a Pop-Tart.
It's like when you bake a Pop-Tart in the microwave.
Yeah, like your grandmother used to do.
Okay, here's one more thing about the driverless cars.
Okay.
We are fine with how the system works right now, even though we're killing tons and tons of people. And what happens usually is if somebody kills somebody, they go to jail or they have to go to some court thing, or if it's a mistake, then it's terrible and
it wrecks
our lives.
If it's like a big deal enough, they'll make some dumb new law.
Yeah.
Based on one. And that always bothers me.
And then put in a bunch more.
Like if I die and something kills me, don't change the world about it. Like if somebody's like, oh man, somebody got hit. Ivan got hit when he was on his Vespa. We need to make a new law so that everybody wearing a Vespa has to also have a parachute on. It's like, just, I screwed up. Just let that be the thing. Like, I don't
like
know.
I like that you're wearing the Vespa.
What?
You said everybody wearing a Vespa.
Everybody wearing a Vespa?
Also has to have a parachute on, yeah. But don't you want
it? That's what it's called when you're piloting it.
Don't you want that to happen? Because then it would be called, like, the Ivan Decker Law.
Why doesn't the Ivan Decker Law be like, everybody have a great time? That would be the law I want passed.
Because enforcing it would be a nightmare.
Somebody's sad. You're like, hey.
So, wait, this is what would happen. Somebody would be sad, sitting on the bus stop, and they'd be down. And then a cop would come along and give them a fine.
Yeah. Hey, well, fun's the city. Serves you right for being upset.
Ivan Decker died of not having fun. Now we got the Ivan Decker Law.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're under arrest.
Yeah, you're under arrest.
For sucking all the air out.
Prisons would be huge. They'd be so full.
Yeah, they'd be so sad.
But they'd be happy. They'd be a happy place. Because you can't break the law in prison. What?
Okay, so here's the thing. You're driving a car. You hit somebody. Legal shit happens. Great.
Legal stuff happens.
But according to the insurance companies, according to the law of the land, it's your fault. Not the car's fault.
Mm-hmm.
So consider this a scenario, which is plural for scenario. You have
a singular sentence.
And also the scenario, I only have one scenario.
Okay, well, continue with your scenario.
So the car is driving. It's a driverless car. Something crazy happens that the car can react to, sure, but it's a scenario in which it only has two options. Does it swerve left to avoid this thing that just happened, just exploded in front of it or whatever, or does it swerve right? If it swerves left, the probability is pretty high that it'll hit and maybe kill three pedestrians. If it swerves right, it's for sure going to kill one pedestrian. So the driverless car, in a split second, makes the decision. It'll probably make the decision to do the least amount of damage, to swerve right, killing that one pedestrian. However, the driver is not to blame. So now what happens is, basically what's happened is you have a scenario where a car has chosen to kill somebody.
Yeah.
Knowing, because it's the only way out of this scenario. It's a Kobayashi Maru. You've got to fail it to test the theory. So now what happens is the insurance company who insures that car to blame, or are the software developers to blame for putting in a morality code that says kill this one human over these three humans?
Why not just crash into the thing that exploded?
And kill the driver.
Yeah.
But so then so either way, somebody's going to be mad. Somebody's going to sue the car company or the program makers or the app makers or the...
I just think whoever made that explosion is liable.
Okay. In my scenario, I put an explosion in there. I'm trying to think of what, I don't know, what, like a car failure or something that happens right in front of the car behind it.
Yeah.
So it has to swerve to avoid a
But I understand
car.
What you mean. So it's like, yeah, there's those sort of impossible situations.
Where it's like, basically we're faced with that Hindenburg scenario where a robot has chosen to kill somebody and now none of us want robots around.
Wait, the Hindenburg was a robot?
No. What I mean by the Hindenburg is like, the Hindenburg was this beautiful airship. We were all planning on doing airships a lot. Everybody was pretty excited about airships. And then that one you know, went up in flames, killing everybody on it.
And they were like, no more airships.
And airships were a thing of the
even
past.
Even though it's like, we could just use helium.
Yeah. Like, and just, well, and I think the coating of the Hindenburg was like the same coating. Like the coating they used for like weather sealing was the same kind of compound that is used in rocket fuel. So it was like hella flammable.
Yeah.
So the
whole
thing
can't we
went
just
up.
Learn from the mistakes? We could all be floating around on airships.
Well, that's the thing. I guess, I don't know, are airships really that good, though? They're so slow. Our society is so much faster than airships now.
Yeah, that's true. We have to find a way to make them go really fast. Every Final Fantasy game had airships.
and everybody was just fine in those games.
But this scenario you're talking about is it's in the movie I, Robot with Will Smith.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Where there's the two cars go into the river, and
or
the robot,
book that it's based on.
Yeah, whatever. So the two cars go into the river. Will Smith's in one car. There's a child in the other car.
Right.
And the robot chooses to rescue him because he has a higher probability of survival.
Yes, and because he's black, and the robot didn't want to be seen as racist.
I don't know about that. Maybe they programmed that into it. But yeah, it's one of those situations where it's like, well, where do you draw that line?
Yeah.
What do you program it to do? What are the decisions you force it to make? Or should you just be politically correct and it just turns itself off?
Just stops dead.
Whenever it's forced with any sort of morality question.
So basically,
it just turns off. Which is what I do whenever I'm faced with.
I was
going
to say, if it's faced with a morality issue, if you have to kill just deer and it has a deer in headlights program, like run program deer headlight EXE.
Yeah.
And it just stops and freaks out.
It's like whenever anybody tweets anything at me, like, hey, what you just said was pretty insensitive. I'm like, turn off my computer.
their comment.
Do not get sucked into this.
Their comment disappeared. Perfect.
Yeah. Then I go outside and I eat a sandwich.
Outside, though. Not inside.
Yeah.
Not near your computer.
I eat a tolerance sandwich.
The other option would, I guess, be if it was AI, like in the robot movie, iRobot.
The robot.
In the robot. In the one robot movie.
The robot film that we have not been licensed to talk about.
I guess they would go to court with the robot so they could take the car to court. So it's like the people.
the car's on the stand.
The people versus Civic. Honda.
But that's like the whole legal system surrounding robots because they don't have emotions. Like court, when you're forcing somebody to testify, is basically just making them feel bad.
Oh yeah, justice on robots would be the worst because they'd be like,
that
is correct.
Honest.
I did kill that person.
They're all honest.
Well, take me apart. I'm like, yeah. No, you're supposed to, this doesn't feel good.
We need closure. They're like, yeah, well, I think I did my job. Goodbye. Like,
don't you understand? We're going to murder you for murdering that person. Like, this is intense.
Robots are just the most noble. Every robot execution is just the end of Braveheart. Where they're like, I would not give up my freedom. Yeah.
I was a car, and I will always be a car.
I did my job to the utmost.
I think you need to rewatch Braveheart, because his last line is not, I did my job to the utmost.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
I haven't seen that since I was in high school. I got grossed out by all the kissing parts.
Braveheart, do you have any final words? I did my job to the utmost.
Chop.
Stab.
I was just, yeah, like, because I was a kid, I, like, didn't understand movies yet, and I was, like, mad that he died at the end. Because I was like, this isn't how things are supposed to do, how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, the idea of a sad ending was, like, unheard of to us. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean? What's the second part where everything's fine?
Yeah, they're like, no, this is what the world is like, though, for real. And you're like, what?
Well, and then there's that
the world is shattered.
And I still think kids are right when they respond to that by being like, well, why?
Yeah.
This is a movie, not the real world. I didn't ask for a sad ending.
I don't want to watch this garbage so I feel better about my crappy life.
Yeah. If I wanted a sad ending, I would just stay alive and not see a movie.
Yeah. My life is amazing. It's imagination time. I can be whatever I want. Show me something where everything's great.
And it continues to get great and then ends really greatly.
Somehow those movies never do well. It's like people really just want to see something that's sad.
Do you think that there's like a bit of the, like we're kind of going back on that now? And now people are like, you know what? Screw it. Happy ending time. And
yeah,
like,
I think the
90s. How to Train Your Dragons are coming out.
The 90s was a big, like with the grunge era and everything.
Yeah.
It was just a lot of like trust fund kids that are just like, I'm mad about having all my parents' money.
Yeah.
And then now we're all starting to realize like, well, you know what's better is if we're just great. Like, because the 80s, everybody romanticized the 80s because we're just having such a great time. It was just like, we're just all having fun. Even listen to the music from the 80s. All the music is just about like having sex.
Yep.
And then just like we're just having a good time.
Just party as much
we're
as possible.
A good time. Yeah. That's why hair metal is still my favorite genre of music, because all of it is positive. And then there's power ballads, like,
yeah.
Even the guys who get broken up with, the songs are just like, pretty sad that you left, but I got lots of other ladies. Everything's gonna be fine. I hope your new guy's as red as me. Let's all go out to a boat party.
Now all the songs are kind of like, there's still that romance and wanting to have sex, but it's all about like, we're going to have sex, even though the world is ending. Like, yeah. I'm going to hold my hand and watch us both die together.
The
like,
Marry
oh boy.
You Anyway song? That's the worst one.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a song to her dad being like, I'm going to marry her anyway. It's like, well, then why'd you write this song?
Yeah, just marry her and shut up about it.
I don't understand what's happening. Just wrote this song so idiots can play it for their angry girlfriend's dads.
Yes, and that all relates perfectly.
But think about all the jobs that are going to leave because of driverless cars.
Well, transportation industry is a very big industry.
Yeah.
But if you can get rid of trucks, like truck drivers that fall asleep or that cost a lot of hours and have to sleep over in other towns.
Absolutely.
You just have trucks just driving all night, quietly, never stopping.
Never running people off the road because they are mad that they're not going to make their delivery.
Just patient trucks that never stop.
And even services like garbage. Like garbage trucks, the bus,
yep,
all that stuff.
Oh, definitely the buses, especially the ones like in Vancouver.
Yeah.
To you listeners who are tuning in just now, we're talking about driverless cars.
We're not live.
But like the buses in Vancouver are all attached on a system. Like that's why we have apps where you can find out the exact location of your bus.
Yeah.
On its GPS, but it's also all wired into this grid with
the
power.
And the drivers are already like kind of...
robots.
Yeah, they're not supposed to respond to anything that's happening on the bus. Like, if there's a guy on the back who's, like, cutting himself open and spraying blood on people, the bus driver's just supposed to be like, I'm not qualified to handle this.
Just gonna keep stopping at my stops. Hopefully there's cops at one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they can sound the alarm for cops, but, like, so can anybody else.
Oh, my God, Ivan.
What?
Do you think that the transit system, by telling us not to talk to the drivers, not to do anything with the driver, just treat them like robots... are they getting us ready to replace all the bus drivers with robots?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. The SkyTrain's already a robot. Although, not really. This is what I didn't know, especially since I have a bit about it, but later learned. The SkyTrains are... there's like 3 or 4 people driving all the trains.
Oh, cool.
There's like a command center, and they have like a ton of cameras watching all the stations. Like, they don't... they don't have them, like, running. They're not watching them drive in between stations because that's boring and stupid. They're not like, no.
Maybe that's one person's job. It's like, yep, still, there's a tunnel,
but
it's empty.
They will, like, hold the doors open if there's, like, a school of kids trying to get on the train and they need to, like, they'll hold them. Which means that if you're ever running for the train and the doors close, that meant that a person did that to you.
What?
Yeah.
And not... and
someone saw you and was like, no.
You know what's crazy about that? Is that if you're right and there's not very many people, that means you got one person there maybe that just hates your shit.
Yeah.
And every time you're trying to make it to work on time, they just speed up the trains a bit.
They don't like
you. Because this guy sees you every day and he's like, man, screw that guy.
Oh, there's this guy again. Mr. Fedora. Yeah, I think they take turns... at each station.
Hating on Mr. Fedora guy.
Yeah, they all take turns hating him.
And I love people that are like, you know, with all the cameras around on the trains and all the control that the train has, a lot of people complain about the freedom and the privacy and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, first of all, it's a private company. You're on their territory.
Yeah.
Like, you're in their house. So
you know
that,
you can have a lot of privacy?
You.
Walking down an alley.
Yeah. You can go do that if you want. No, but I'll get robbed there. Yeah, because of the lack of oversight.
Yeah.
Like, because of the amount of privacy you have.
I just want freedom and privacy, but I want to be safe. Well, welcome to the human condition.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, pick.
Yeah.
What do you mean pick? Why can't it just be perfect? In what era was it perfect? Like, you're hearkening back to something that never existed.
Yeah, exactly. What about the medieval times? Yeah, that was great. It was great for
some. Oh, yeah,
the
medieval times went real well for people.
Well, it went well for a few.
Yeah, I just have this picture as soon as you said that of this prince looking around in this beautiful room he has, and he's never been outside.
Yeah.
And he goes to like the manicured gardens.
Yeah.
And he's just looking around. He's like, I don't know what everybody's complaining about. This stuff is great.
Yeah.
He doesn't have Twitter.
Outside the hall, everybody's like on fire.
Yeah.
And dying of plague.
I'm so warm from the people fire.
Yeah.
If you don't have Twitter, you don't know that there's other stuff happening.
No, I feel like the internet was a big mistake. And all it's done is depress us.
All we know is everything, and it's
the
worst.
Just so you know, it's every day you wake up, you look at your Facebook newsfeed. Just so you are aware, everything sucks. Here's a couple things that suck. These people, they suck, and they're mad at these other people who also suck.
Yeah.
They're fighting.
You've never known them or anything about their culture, and they're just killing each other.
Yeah, a lot of people are dying. Kids, even.
Now, if we could just... Here's another thing.
Now, tell us about the hash brown you just are eating.
Send out a picture about it.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing about this driverless cars thing. Moving off of driverless cars, we worry about the future of robots. Like, oh, it'll be the worst if, like, police... Robocops, you know, robot police officers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think that would be an improvement.
Yeah.
Because your police officer would not profile anyone.
Exactly.
You could just tell the computer.
Well, they would program it to profile, I think.
Do you think people would actually go into the program and be like, make sure you're a bit racist?
They would find a way to slip it through.
I would hope.
I don't have enough trust in... I've seen Robocop.
Yeah, but I mean, as long as they're not... so sentient that they have their own ideas and culture.
I just think there should be no profiling.
That's what I mean.
If a cop is a robot, it should be fast enough to realize imminent threats. Like, it can do other things to detect threats, like eye movements, adrenaline dumps. It can sense small changes like that.
Totally. And it also wouldn't have that self-preservation tactic that's like, I need to... this person might shoot me, even though he's unarmed, so I'm just going to fill him with rounds right now.
I'm only 2 days away from Robot Retirement. Robot Retirement is the sequel to Robot Road Rage.
Like, because what you could have is, if somebody's freaking out in a mall and waving a knife around, instead of cops being like, oh God, as soon as we better just shoot him, you could have a bunch of robots who don't care about taking the occasional round or getting stabbed.
Yeah.
Just run and tackle him.
Exactly.
Just like, yeah, stab me, that's fine. There's 70 of us.
Yeah.
We're just going to pile on top of you until you're covered in robot.
Yeah.
And then you'll no longer be a threat.
Yeah. I think that that's a great idea. I would be okay with robot cops.
But you're right. Some police chief somewhere would hack into it and just, like, add one more line in the programming.
But then, like, how are, like, pretty girls supposed to get out of speeding tickets?
But that's what I'm talking about. We get rid of that. Then there's nobody.
No positives, no negatives.
It doesn't matter how white you are or how pretty you are. You're not getting out of shit anymore.
Yeah. There's no privilege in a world run by robots.
And I think that's maybe why.
Except there'll be robo privilege.
Yeah, robots are like, well, because they're like, I don't break laws because I don't need to.
You get pulled over and your car is just like, it's okay, he's with me.
Your car, if you have a pretty enough car, it would talk itself out of the ticket.
The car talks to the robot cop.
But then you could also blame the car. Be like, I didn't call the company. I'm not speeding.
Yeah.
I'm checking my emails.
Yeah.
I was watching porn while my car was taking me to work.
There's this whole other subculture that's happening around you that you're not even aware of. Cars you can't even understand the communication. It's just the cop and the car just standing there going like this. And then you're like, what was that all about? I just told him I'd meet up with him later. If
the car's like, don't worry about this. Be cool. Don't say a thing.
Just be
cool. You'll just ruin it. Meatbag. Just sit there quietly. And you're like, but Robo Car, why do we get pulled over anyway? Because I'm doing a favor for another friend. I'm moving some coke.
In the robot
what?
World.
When did you pick up the coke? When you were at work. You were getting a coffee. You told me to drive around the block. I made a little extra side cash.
And the robot world just becomes this thing that happens so quickly because they're so intelligent that to them, humans are just these slow-moving organic masses that don't matter, like trees are to us.
Yes.
So humans are just the trees of the robot world, and they're like, oh, I gotta care for my human. I gotta get home. I gotta water my human.
Literally. Meanwhile, like, my human needs water.
Meanwhile, to us, it's only been like 1 second, but they're just like, like moving around so fast.
Yeah, and you're like, I love this. I don't have any purpose anymore, but I guess I'll just stand in this field and look nice.
Yeah.
Like trees.
It would be great. Just a total utopia. Back to the Garden of Eden.
You know what would happen is we would become entertainment.
Yeah.
We would put on plays that cars would show up to and be like, ha ha, humans. You guys are so slow.
It would just be the play Grease or Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is like the number one musical.
Cars are just
like... audience full of robot cars.
Just loving it. They applaud when the car comes on.
They all have monocles and little opera glasses.
And they're like, there's not enough parts for cars in these plays.
Yeah, can you write in some more car parts?
Literally and figuratively.
The director is a car. He's just telling humans, hey, can you guys just roll around?
Yeah. So for this set, we need basically a crowd of humans in the background, and then our two cars come on and talk for a bit. But we don't understand what's happening in the play.
Oh, It's the best.
Or just props.
And then in like the school play, young cars have to be a human. That's like the crappy part.
Oh, I'm playing a human. They put on a little human face.
I'm the human.
So wait, now we just don't have any roles.
Yeah.
Cars are entertaining.
Cars run the world.
You know what? If we created our own extinction, I don't know that I'd have a problem with that. Because it's like, if we created...
It seems like just desserts.
Well, and if we created the next... created the next level of evolution, and the next level of evolution was robots, and we were perceived as the ancients, and we just like rested and slowly all died out.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is our legacy. Our legacy is we created,
yeah,
you know, the greatest form of life in the world.
Yeah. But here's another... this episode is going to be over very soon, but this is kind of a cliffhanger, which we'll talk about.
Ooh.
We'll talk about later.
Okay.
In another episode. But
love it.
Once humans are all dying, downloading your consciousness into a robot, having it live on as you.
And guess what? Don't have to feed it. So like, we could have trillions of those.
Yeah.
Just on the internet.
Oh yeah, we'll just all be living on the internet. I mean, we're already doing that now.
I mean, I live on the internet already.
Yeah, so do we. On your iTunes. Every Thursday.
Nice.
This has been Science Us.
With Peter Carlone.
And Ivan Decker. So our verdict on driverless cars.
Oh, yeah, our verdict. I'm pro driverless cars, and I'm also pro driverless cars being allowed to kill a few of us.
Yep, I'm okay with that too. As long as...
Just if they feel like it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, obviously we'll try to avoid it. So driverless cars, I'm on board, Google, if you're listening. And for those of you who listen to us, thank you for putting up with how dumb we are. And we hope that it was entertaining and more entertaining than enraging to
yes.
anybody who knows anything about science.
Yeah.
And we will see you in the future.
Ooh.